Shalom and Chazak ve'ematz. This is Pastor David Oakes of the Light Church Fellowship and founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Well, once again, we are blessed to have with us Sandra Barris, the Israel Director of Christian Friends of Israeli Communities, and another young lady, my dear wife Rachel, that you have heard sing on the radio several times as we have sung from our CD, Chazak ve'ematz, Be Strong and Very Courageous. But we're going to do a tag team with Sandra here today, my wife asking some questions also. And we're going to ask Sandra if she would tell us a little bit about Christian Friends of Israeli Communities, and she can just take her liberty and tell us anything that she thinks we need to know. It's great to have you again.
Well, it's good to be here again, David. And Rachel. Well, Christian Friends of Israeli Communities is an organization that was founded by Christians from Colorado in 96 in response to the Oslo peace process. And by 96, there was already quite a chunk of land that had been transferred from Israel to the Palestinian Authority. And these Christians, as many other Christians as well at that time, and I know you were also part of Christians that were extremely upset with what was happening, we're seeing basically God's covenant land being handed over to people that it doesn't belong to. And the initiative was to go out and educate Christians in America about what was really happening and enabling Christians to connect what they saw in the newspaper or read about, heard on the television, with the biblical truths that they would see in the Bible or hear about in church. And I was involved with this initiative from the beginning. At the time, I was working for a Jewish organization that was reaching out to Jews around the world and teaching them about the Jewish communities in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza, and raising funds from these Jewish communities for projects in the communities in Israel. And I personally had really been quite unaware of the extent to which Christians could stand for Israel and were beginning to stand for Israel with Israel in increasing numbers. And this was a very exciting revelation for me. I became involved from the beginning. It began as a very small project. And in 98, I opened the Israel office and just dedicated myself to this work full time, which is what I've been doing ever since. And it's probably one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. It introduced me to Christians who read the Bible, and enabled me as a Jewish person to share my faith with Christians and listen to the hearts of Christians who were loving Israel based upon their faith. And I think this meeting, this bridge that we have been able to build between two faiths that have had quite a bloody and tragic past, and to see that bridge can be a completely different bridge, a bridge of love, a bridge of common understandings and goals. And that's basically what Christian Friends of Israeli Communities has been all about. On its most basic, practical level, what we have done is connected churches, ministries, and individuals from all over the United States. And actually, we've expanded significantly, and we have supporters and churches and all sorts of groups in other countries as well. And we actually have an office in Holland and an office in Germany, and supporters as far away as Australia and New Zealand. And Christians really from all over the world are linking them with the Jewish communities, educating them and challenging them to stand for these communities in practical ways as well. We have an adopt a settlement program where groups, churches or ministries or prayer groups will actually commit to supporting a project in a particular community. And it's more than just writing a check. It is a relationship. And this is very important to us because the bridge building that we're doing is no less important than the financial assistance that is coming here into Israel. And when you put the two together, the relationship is a solid one. And I think this is also a message that is important for Christians to understand. We in Israel have had a difficult history with the nations, as you well know. And so today, when Christians come and say they support Israel, Israelis are looking for some concrete expression of that support. something that says there's commitment here, that there is a real reversal. It's not just empty words. So that when Christians come and visit, take a tour to Israel, and actually visit the community, that says something. That's much more than someone sitting at home in their armchair saying, gee, I love Israel, next subject. And it's this commitment that we're selling, that we're pushing, because it is really the basis of true relationships. And the same thing with the financial support. We have groups that have done projects in the communities that are just incredible, and who have come in to communities that have some of the greatest needs. The last 2 years especially have, unfortunately, a byproduct of the violence and the terror, has been extreme need, both in the areas of security and emergency equipment and financial need. I mean, the whole country is in economic distress right now. There's rising unemployment. And in addition, the extra stresses of the violence in our areas in Judea and Samaria has really driven a number of families over the edge in terms of their financial, their ability to maintain themselves, to feed their families. We are helping a group in Samaria that is providing food packages to needy families. And we have Christians that have donating to this project. We have we received a very substantial donation for this project from Christians in Germany. Now, the significance of that is just mind-boggling. We've had tremendous emergency needs. We have a community called Itamar, which is in Samaria and has actually been attacked, infiltrated by terrorists 3 different times during this past couple of years. People were killed. At one point, terrorists came into the schoolyard. There's a high school there, and they came into the high school, and the kids were playing basketball. It was the evening, and they just started shooting, and 3 students were killed. And this is a community that had this emergency need for a perimeter camera system, and we turned to, and actually I didn't even have to turn to people. I had churches calling us up and saying, we've read about this story, can we help? And I said, well, you know, your call is exactly what we needed, because they need money for this camera system. And we have a couple of churches that have been faithful and have been sending money every month to help them pay for this camera system. They put it up right away, and they did a deal with the company. They have 5 years to pay for it. So when a church is faithful like that and is committing every month, sending the money, that's saving lives. I know that this is saving lives. And that's just a couple examples of what we've been doing. But the list is endless.
You're listening to Pastor David Oakes from the Light Church Fellowship, and we have our special guest here with us from Israel, from Karnei Shamroon, in the Shamroon region of Israel, Sandra Barris. And I also have my lovely wife, Rachel, or Rachel. It's just better in Hebrew, isn't it? And let me say one thing before I let Rach ask a question. I think it's vitally important, and my wife and I have discussed it in private. Sandra's, we've worked in Israel since 1987, and we have been in many communities in Judea Samaria, and we've found something that is fine, because people have to do what their hearts lead them to do, but that their major concern and their efforts are concentrated for their particular community, doing public relations for that particular community, making contacts, doing the networking for that particular community, and that's needed. But we found something that we found really refreshing, and something that really ministered to our heart, is an organization, which Sandra happens to be the Israel director, so I would probably say she's the directress for the entire organization, since the organization is dealing with Israeli communities. Is someone whose efforts aren't just concentrated to her own particular community of Karnei Shamroon, although I'm sure she would take any contribution whatsoever to her own personal community, but she is reaching out into some of the smallest communities who might not even have an English speaker in the community where that can come to the United States, or might not even have a German speaker in the community that can go to Germany or Switzerland or whatever. And we found it very refreshing that someone is taking up the fight, the financial fight, the fight for their protection and their advancement. And we've visited communities that Sandra so gave us so much help getting us involved in our last group tour to Israel, a small community that had 18 homes in it. Beautiful homes, but 18 nevertheless. And these people need contacts. And we would like to say, we just think it's absolutely fabulous that you're fighting the fight for someone else other than just your particular unit that you're a part of. But here's my wife now. Do you have anything to say, dear?
Well, I just thought it was so interesting what Sondra was saying about the personal level that you try to establish as well as the financial and the project level. You know, to every listener that's out there this morning, I just want you to know that God is moving, and He can use you. He wants to use you, as a matter of fact. And one of the most significant things that He's done in my life is He has established this connection for me and with me, with the people of Israel. And He's given me so many new friends. And I grew up in a little farming community of 7,500 people in the southern part of Oklahoma. And never in my wildest dreams would I have ever imagined that God would use me. In fact, I didn't even know that He was in that business, actually. But, you know, we serve a living God, and He is moving, and He's active today. And He's wanting to use people. And anybody who's a Bible reader knows that just beyond your personal satisfaction that you get out of being used by God, there are also rewards for being used by God. And, you know, you may be sitting there in your home today. Maybe you're not able to get out and go to church. And I just want you to know that God has a plan for your life, and He can use you. And it's never too late. Don't think that you're too old or too young. He is providing a marvelous door for you right now this morning, and He's giving you information that if you'll act on it, it will be a blessing to your life. If you bless the nation of Israel, the Bible says that you're going to be blessed. Maybe your need is in the financial area. Maybe you need healing for your body. Maybe you need a relationship restored. Maybe you don't know where your child is today. God has made a way for you to receive your answer. And one of the ways that God uses is by sowing seeds. And if you will sow a seed, you're in line to reap a harvest. And one of the harvests that you can reap for being a blessing to Israel is that you will be blessed in return. And I just want to encourage your faith this morning. I want to encourage you to go to Israel. You've just got to go. But if that's absolutely out of the question and not possible for you at this moment, be a blessing to Israel. Get involved in the helping and the aiding of the Jewish people in some way. Sondra's going to tell you about a number that you can contact her at. Their organization is open to you. I mean, if you just have a little bit of money or a lot of money or a prayer, or just spreading of this information, tell your neighbor about the broadcast, send in for the tape and give it to someone. These are all ways and pathways that are open to you this morning for you to be blessed. And I know what a tremendous, tremendous difference it's made in my life. I could fill up a whole radio broadcast with things that the Lord has just blessed our family with since we've started our working with Israel. And I know that He's faithful. I know that I'm not somebody special, that He wants to do the same thing for you, for many, many of the listeners out there this morning. Sondra, what's the number where people could reach you? If they're, you know, they've listened to these last couple of broadcasts and God is stirring something in their heart and they want to get involved, how can they do that?
Okay, well, our main office is in Colorado Springs and we have a toll-free number. I don't sit in that office, but Kim is there and she is just such a marvelous woman. And she's there to help you and answer your questions and help you get involved. And what we always say, if you have something that you can offer, we will be able to find a need that your generosity or your ability to help can match. And the number there, the toll-free number is 1-800-551-3207. And I'll just repeat that, 1-800-551-3207. Now, we also have a website that you might want to, click onto. It's www.cfoic, cfoic.com. That's CFOIC, which stands for Christian Friends of Israeli Communities, .com. And there's a lot of information about what we do. You can contact us there through the website, through the email. We also have all our projects listed on the website, and people can donate online if they prefer. And again, I want to encourage you all to call that 800 number, because Kim is there to talk to you. And of course, I am very available by phone for those who want to call me to Israel. So you can see that on the website as well. But most people do communicate with me by email, which is easy and quick. And I love receiving emails, and I receive emails from all over the world. And I do answer them, because as you mentioned, Rachel, as you picked up with what we were talking about, this is all about relationships. And that's what we want to encourage, and we want to encourage everyone listening to us to come in and become part of the relationship of Christians standing with Jews for Israel.
In all of my weeks on the radio since we started the broadcast, I've never taken up one offering, never asked anyone to send in any money. But my wife got started in that line just a second ago. And let me share some scriptures with you that you need to understand. Proverbs, the 11th chapter, verse 24 says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth." So get the idea. He says that there's a situation where people scatter, they throw out, and it's the image of a sower sowing seed. And as he sows the seed out, but it seems like when you sow things out that you would have less, but yet you are increasing. And the reason why is the seed goes into the ground, and the seed, as it comes to fruition and grows, it produces many more than itself. There's something about seed. If you plant seed, the least that seed will ever be is at that moment right there. But if you don't plant the seed, that's as much as that seed will ever be right there. So that, notice that again. There is that scattereth and yet increases. And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. So he's saying the one who will not go out and scatter that seed or sow that seed, that's going to tend to poverty. But the one who goes and plants the seed, as the crop grows and he can harvest, it's going to lead to prosperity. Now, that's the Bible. We don't have time to teach on it much, but the Bible speaks of money as being a seed. And one of the reasons why we believe in giving to Israel the way we do, in the many facets we do, we not only give to Israel by giving to Christian Friends of Israeli Communities, we have other areas that we sow seed into. But we believe it's a command of the Lord. And we believe that when we do sow that seed, that seed is the smallest that will ever be. The moment I plant it into Israel, something's going to happen. It's going to germinate, it's going to grow, and then it will bear fruit, and we can harvest that. And we can go through Genesis, the 12th chapter, and find out all the facets of the harvesting. If you study it, it will bring even harvest in your family. And it will affect even your family, your clan, those immediate relatives around you. But then we can go over into Genesis, the 24th chapter, and Sandra will just have to listen to me preach, because I'm wanting people to see how important it is. So I'm not taking an offering for myself or my church, because this is an outreach of our church. I've never taken a penny. In fact, all of you who have been calling for tapes, we give you every tape and we send it and we pay all the postage, because we want to be a blessing to your life. See, blessing, that's what we're called to do, is to bless. And so there's another situation here. Abraham sent his servant into the place where he was born, in Ur, the Chaldees. And he said that he wanted to find a wife for his son, Isaac. And so his servant went, loaded up the camels. We're just going to make the story very, very short. And he went and he looked for this one, and it happened to be Rebekah. Now, I remember when it was ministered to my heart that Rebekah was really a seed sown in to the ministry of Abraham. He had to have seed sown in so that the Jewish people from that moment on could grow. If there hadn't have been a wife, there was not a wife for him among the Canaanites. There had to be a seed that started it, and it was this woman named Rebekah that allowed the Jewish people to begin to come forth. First came Isaac, then came his son Jacob, then came, of course, Jacob was Israel, we know, and then came the children of Israel. But it started with that first seed. Rebekah provided herself to be sown into Abraham's ministry. Now, there's something amazing. We can go through here, and I have a series of tapes that you can call the church about called How to Obtain
Precious Things.
I had to look at my wife on that. How to Obtain Precious Things. And so Laban and Bethuel sowed Rebekah into the ministry of Abraham, and she went back to the family of Abraham, and Isaac saw it, and we all know what happened after that. There was a liking going on there. There was a loving going on, and it's been working that way for centuries. Isn't that something? But notice what happened. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things, it says in the English translation. And so because they so freely gave of Rebekah as a seed so that the children of Israel could come forth, remember, without that seed, without something to plant, there was never going to be the Jewish people come forth. And all of a sudden, because they willingly gave the sister and the daughter, something happened. Now, Laban got goofy down here on the way, and he said, well, maybe we ought to withhold her for a few days. He did some funky things. That's what happens to you. You say, well, I'm going to write out a check today, and I'm going to send it to Israel. And by tonight, you're saying, well, maybe I haven't mailed it yet. Maybe I ought to save that back. Well, same thing happens to you, but you just have to do what your first impression is. Now, notice that he got blessed, did that family with precious things because they gave what they had. Well, God will do the same thing for you. When you give what you have, especially to the nation of Israel and to the Jewish people, God will bless you also with precious things. That's just the Bible. We could go through the scripture from Genesis all the way to Malachi and then go in from Matthew to Revelation, and we can find the same principle. It's the principle of seed time and harvest that God told Noah about. You plant the seed, you're going to get the harvest. We believe that if you plant seed into the organization that Sandra represents, that she is the directress of, we believe that you are going to be a recipient of precious things also. Not because we say it, it's because the Bible says it. So, Sandra, do you have anything else?
Thank you.
Sorry I took your time.
No, that was wonderful. I mean, thank you for encouraging people to stand with us. And I really, really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share my heart with your listeners.
Could you give us those addresses and the email address and everything again for those who have now stopped beside the road?
Okay. All right. That's Christian Friends of Israeli Communities, or CFOIC, P.O. Box 50833, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80949. The toll-free number there is 1-800-551-3207. Again, 1-800-551-3207. And our website is www.cfoic.com.
Sandra, I don't know exactly how much time we have left this morning, but I want to talk about some of the fun things that we do when we bring groups to Israel. People need to know that everything is not what they get in the little soundbite on the news. And I was wondering if you would talk about some of the things that that people can do in Judea and Samaria and Gaza. We were there in December last year, and I remember going to a community in Gaza, which, yes, they had had some unfortunate experiences there, but people were building these beautiful custom homes, and they were looking out at the Mediterranean Sea, which was like two blocks from them, and just, you know, you could see that they had a dream to build a wonderful and beautiful life and something that God had promised to them. And just maybe in these few minutes, if you have any ideas of what you could share, there are so many things to do in Israel that, I mean, really, people could stay there a month and not do it all.
That's true.
But tell them some of the things.
All right, well, you mentioned Gaza. Gaza's a fantastic beach. I mean, you can swim there and you can have lunch on the beach and then... hop over to some of the communities, see their hot houses. They have made miracles of agriculture. They're growing some of the most fantastic vegetables in the sand. And it's just a great thing to see. In Judea and Samaria, Hebron, you see the actual cave of the patriarchs and the matriarchs. You meet the people who are living there. Go down to Susia, and you see a restored village from 2nd century. It was a Jewish village. And get a real flavor for what it was like to live in Israel. Go up to Genesis Land, ride a camel, and meet, I mean, you talked about Abraham and Eliezer. I mean, this is a recreation of Abraham's tent, and you'll have Abraham and Eliezer walking right out of the Bible to greet you and host you for lunch, and this is a wonderful experience.
Oh, yes. They wash your hands. That's the first thing. Any desert traveler should be refreshed, and they come out and wash your hands.
That's right. And I mean, Shiloh, where the tabernacle stood, and you can see that, and go up on Mount Kabir, the Mountain of Promise, where Abraham first came into the land, and everywhere along the way, you can meet the people who are living their dream and a biblical vision in the land. And I just want to invite everybody to come. And we'll make your day, your days, your hours in Judea and Samaria, experience of a lifetime.
Well, we want to thank Sandra for being with us. And I want to thank my wife for taking the seat next to me today. We are lovers of Israel, as you can tell by our last few months of teaching you. But it was just a blessing, Sandra, to have you on radio today. And remember those addresses. And if you didn't catch them, if you were driving around in your car, call us at the church. That would be fine. Our number is 918-333-2838. That number again, 918-333-2838. If you need any other information about Christian Friends of Israeli Communities, and you didn't catch all that information, because I realize it's difficult when you're driving, feel free to call us. We'll get you hooked up with the people you need to be hooked up with. And we just thank you for listening today. And so be blessed. And we'll see you again, or actually won't see. You can hear us again next week at the same time. Bye-bye for now.